The recession may be over, but the economy remains sluggish, and that has helped put the federal government into a deeper financial hole than almost anyone could have imagined. Big budget surpluses have given way to deficits that will be hard to turn around. As NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports, even many economists are wondering how things changed so quickly.
The reversal of fortune has been breathtaking, according to David Weiss, chief economist at Standard & Poor's. He cites figures released this week by the White House Office of Management and Budget.
2 years ago, OMB estimated that we would have a $330 billion surplus this year. Now they're saying $455 billion deficit. That's an $800 billion swing. It wasn't too long ago that was the entire GDP of the country, much less the budget. And it's one of these things where just everything happened at once.
The Bush administration blames more than half of this year's deficit, 53%, on the sluggish economy. It reckons around a quarter comes from tax cuts and the rest from a surge in spending on the war, homeland security, and other government programs. The White House argues that running a big deficit in the short term is okay. Weiss agrees.
You don't like deficits because you worry that deficits raise interest rates, that they raise inflation, and that in the long run they're going to crowd out productive investment. But right now, interest rates are at their lowest level in 50 years, inflation is at its lowest level in 40 years, and nobody wants to invest anyway. Problem is, we've got to figure out how to get out of this as the economy improves.
But even when the economy recovers, he says, the deficits won't go away. The tax cuts Congress passed are one reason. Few economists expect them to pay for themselves. They're designed to phase in gradually and grow bigger over time. And Republicans want them to be permanent. Joel Slemrod, who teaches economics at the University of Michigan, thinks he knows why.
I think how we got into this is partly because even though almost no one thinks that running deficits forever is a good economic strategy, some people think that it is a strategy that in the long run will pay off by making the government smaller. So I think it is this so-called starve the beast strategy, which is behind, in many people's minds, the tax cuts and comes along with the hope that that will be a good thing in the long run.
But the beast is showing no signs of slimming down. Quite the contrary. Congress has spent prodigiously even as it's cut taxes. And right now, almost two-thirds of the budget is mandatory spending on Social Security, Medicare, and interest on the national debt. David Weiss says these expenses automatically grow as prices, the elderly population, and the cost of health care rise.
And let's face it, politically, those are almost impossible to cut. We're not talking about cutting them right now. We're talking about adding benefits.
Including a new prescription drug benefit. Gene Sturley, a budget expert at the Urban Institute, says the real crunch will start in 4 years or so when the baby boomers retire, stop paying taxes, and draw down benefits.
If you look at the issue from a demographic perspective, we're sitting in the eye of the storm.
This week, Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan urged lawmakers to discipline themselves and return to their past practice of offsetting new spending with cuts elsewhere in the budget. Gene Sturley's not convinced they'll take that advice. He says neither Democrats nor Republicans want to disappoint their constituents or break their promises.
It's like a game of chicken where neither side has decided they want to give up because if they give up, they're going to lose.
Sturley expects both Congress and the White House will try to put off the day of reckoning until after the 2004 election. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Washington.